people, of course, are more than familiar with It's a Wonderful Life because of the showings, sometimes multiple showings every Christmas season on TV. I guess now it's kind of part of the American consciousness. The film was not a success, really, when it came out in 1947, and people are always surprised by that because it becomes such a classic.
Yeah, I found that really interesting, too, and it makes me wonder why, what was going on with audiences then that isn't that, today.
Yeah, and why just showings on TV over the years seem to pick up its popularity and helped it attain that classic status. Well, what a lot of people may not realize is that there was a one-hour radio version of the script, because there was a show on CBS Radio called Lux Radio Theater, sponsored by Lux Soap, and they did one-hour adaptations of major motion pictures in front of a live audience, and using, whenever possible, the original stars of the films. Now, this is going to be more like a full-length version of the script, though, because they had to cut the Lux Radio Theater version down to an hour, and it was not
yes.
exactly the best editing of the script that I could imagine.
I agree. I listened to that. You can listen to that on YouTube. You can look it up there.
Right.
I was pleased that the script that we're working with, written by Joe Landry, is a much better script. It's a much fuller script. Our production is about an hour and a half long.
So actually, not that much shorter than the movie itself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
How close is the script to what people are familiar with in the movie?
It's very true to the script.
Yes, very, very true to the script.
Mm-hmm. All right, now you're playing George Bailey. Now,
yes.
tell us your take on the George Bailey character. Everybody knows Jimmy Stewart's take, but you know what is Daniel Bush's take on the George Bailey character?
Well, it says right in the script, you know, the typical American dreamer, George Bailey. So you take what the American dream was in 1947 or earlier, as it goes through a little bit of time in the
right.
script, and what that means to a person back then, and then you add some good character, because George Bailey, that's one thing he has, is a lot of character.
Yes.
And that's it right there.
The way Jimmy Stewart played it, he had a lot of anger, too. A lot of anger. I wouldn't call it bitterness, but he certainly had a lot of anger and frustration.
Right, at the fact that he was kept in this one little town for his whole life.
Bedford Falls.
Yeah.
He had some pretty big ambitions. You know, he wanted to travel and see the world.
Yeah.
He designed modern cities.
He wanted to put his mark on the world, mm-hmm. and he put his mark on Bedford Falls instead.
He was sort of bound by his integrity and
his
duty to
his sense of duty to the town and to his dad and to his family.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now Rachel Thompson is playing the Donna Reed character.
Yes.
And tell us about Mary Bailey.
Well, I would say Mary Bailey. She's this college-educated lady who seemed to have loved George Bailey her entire life. And
though he didn't necessarily know it, but
he didn't know it. And when it comes to showing her feelings for George Bailey, you can kind of see it in every scene that what she feels for George Bailey, even when they were children.
And of course, and again, if you're familiar with the film, you will pick up on that. But one aspect I think we really need to make clear here is that this isn't simply a stage adaptation of the film script. You're doing this as if it were, maybe not Lux Radio Theater, but WGLZ for Gilloy's, WGLZ Playhouse of the Air, and you're doing it as a radio broadcast.
That's correct.
So there, what kind of staging do you have? Do you literally have people just standing around microphones?
We have the set is very simple. It's got a really nice deco backdrop. We're not pretending like we're actually in a radio studio, but the actual studio theater auditorium.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a live audience, and there's a set with a little fireplace, a faux fireplace, and maybe some holiday decorations and whatnot, and some seating for the actors. There's a Foley area where the Foley artist will be creating live sound effects, and the actors are sometimes, you know, crowd members around the Foley table using those mics, and sometimes at the mics that are downstage on area rugs. But the attempt has always been, sort of the concept for this was to create a complete immersive environment. So as soon as the audience walks into the theater, we want them to feel like they've stepped back in time into the 1940s. And that extends to everything from the ushers who we've cast them as actors who are playing characters who are actually ushers in the theater. They had a training the other day with our actor who plays Freddie Fillmore, the host of the show. That's Matt Loveland. And he's actually a house manager at the Galois and took them through the usher training, but in character as Freddie Fillmore. And, and so we'll have a jazz trio in the lobby that will be playing 40s tunes. And we hope to have period concessions as well. And so we want the audience to feel like they've really – the actors will come into the house in the pre-show and mingle with the audience. And Freddie Fillmore will be running around communicating with the stage manager. It's going to be really a really cool thing. The audience is almost cast as 1940s studio now, audience.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what are you using for 1940s studio mics?
Our Foley construction artist, Leroy Barker, has brilliantly created replicas of the RCA 44 mics.
Well, you need replicas because if you look at those things on eBay, you're going to pay $3,200 for a 44.
Ours cost way less.
No kidding.
And so we're fitting them with some condenser mics, and the effect is really, really cool. We're thinking we may put them on, put them up for rental when this is done. We've figured out how much they cost. It's just
sure.
The replicas and ours.
Absolutely.
Look pretty good, so
now there will be commercial breaks and, as you say, live sound effects with the Foley table there on the stage and somebody run. How many people are doing the sound effects?
Well, there's one. Nate Staley is our onstage Foley artist, but some of the Foley effects are also created by some of the actors as well.
Mm.
There are just some places where you just have to have a couple of people.
Sure.
And that's typical with this production.
By the way, you
mentioned the Lux Theater.
Yeah.
The radio, the commercials, one of the commercials is sponsored by Ducks Toilet Soap. You know, it was a nice little homage to the,
sure.
The Lux Radio.
Absolutely. Podcast. And you have flashing applause signs.
Uh-huh. Yes. Mm-hmm. An on-air sign.
On-air sign. And the audience actually is encouraged to dress in 1940s attire, if at all possible.
Yes. It's not a requirement.
Right, right.
We don't want that to keep anybody away, but we just thought it would be so fun if we
had. People could manage to do that.
Sure.
Now, who is playing the angel? Clarence.
That would be Matt Winston. He's an OTC student who's been in several productions with us. He was Scrooge in Christmas Carol the last 2 years.
Mm.
He played in The Good Doctor as well as Our Town, and he's done a number of productions with us. He's a brilliant, brilliant actor.
Well, OTC's production of It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play adapted for the stage by Joe Landry, is being performed next Friday through Sunday, November 20th through the 22nd at the Galois Theater, 325 Park Central East, 7:30 Friday and Saturday night, and 2:30 p.m. Sunday. All seats are $8, general admission,
mm-hmm.
and produced by special arrangement with Play Scripts Incorporated. And are tickets available in advance, or will they be at the door?
The box office of the Galois, you can call the box office or visit them.
Okay. 863-9491. It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play. It'll be a nice way to start the holiday season and kind of an innovative way to start it as well. So, Daniel and Rachel, anything that you guys would like to add as far as what you've learned playing these iconic roles?
We're playing these actors, playing these characters.
Exactly.
Which can seem quite complicated, but when we've actually been rehearsing this, it's kind of interesting how we're developing not only the actors in the play, and then also we're developing our actors in the radio show as well. So
right, right.
We've almost like developed relationships between other actors, and you can kind of see that in the background within the play as well.
There's been this interesting kind of offstage drama thing happening there. We've created certain conflicts and situations among the actors that my actors are playing. So
right.
Daniel's character's name actually is Jake Lawrence, and Rachel's is Sally Applewhite, and these are actors who are playing the George and Mary.
Yes.
But and then there's Lana Sherwood, who's playing Violet Bick, and so forth, and who's played by Ariana Mansell. And so, but we've been playing with this idea that that perhaps there's an offstage romance between one of the other actors and the other.
Sure.
Maybe there's a jealousy, or somebody got a role that another actor wanted. And so we've done a little bit of improvisation with that. And some of that finds its way into the production in very, very small, nuanced ways. The audience probably won't even really pick up on it, but it does give a little bit of color, a little bit of texture to the acting. There was one night where Rachel's character was just surly, and it was so funny. It was, I said, that's great that you're really taking this direction, but we can't go that far with it in the performance.
Well, that's why you work things out in the rehearsal process.
Yeah.
It's A Wonderful Life, a live radio play produced by the Ozarks Technical College Fine Arts Department under the direction of John Herbert. Thank you for being here, and thanks to Daniel Bush and Rachel Thompson for being here, too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it. Thank you, Randy.
Thank you.